use the Oasis for expanded truck parking. We've been talking to the truckers associations to find out what their needs are. Mm-hmm. Again, it depends on who the truckers are and how they're using their system. I think we find what we found are maybe a little bit different. What we've always thought is it's a trucker who's has to, it's a forced rest because they've already hit their travel limits, they have to rest. Well, that's one subgroup that uses our system. The other group that I think what we're finding on our, at the Oasis themselves is that it's the truck who is parked at the Oasis for more than 2 hours waiting to get the call from the loading dock to deliver the materials. So they're just sitting and waiting because they have nowhere else to wait. You can't sit and wait on some of these local streets. You know, you've got a lot of these communities, Bensonville, Franklin Park, it's old school industrial, it's small lots. Nobody ever envisioned a 50-foot semi-trailer trying to back in and out, so they don't have room and capacity. So what I think we're seeing is that you've got a lot of these trucks that are just waiting and out until they get the call to drop their materials off.
How much resistance do you get from the surrounding community then? For all this idling trucks, you know, that I'm talking more about the diesel pollution and the noise.
We do hear about it at the Oasis, that's for sure.
Have we thought about the new systems they have in place where you can, you know, pull in, plug in,
electric
air conditioning and all that, so they can shut the trucks off and they have ports, for lack of a better term.
Definitely, and that's something, again, that we've talked to the trucking industry, what's their desire, whether members use it. It seems that, you know, originally we thought this idle air technology was a thing, which is basically the big hose. If you drive down an I-55 near, and I think it's Bloomington, the big thing you put into your window is kind of a vacuum, if you will. It's got all your power sources there.
I think the initial feedback that we got from the trucking industry was that it's cheaper for me to idle mm-hmm. and run all that than to pay the fee to hook up to one of those. So I think, I mean, we could certainly, they'll go back and revisit it now. This was several years ago. And also, you know, if the complaints were enough, you know, we could create, I guess, restrictions of some type about what they can or can't do when they're parked on our system. I'm not sure what our ability is to do that, but we could certainly look at it. But that was the early feedback on that.
And is it cost prohibitive for us to try to just offer that at a discount to try to expand uses, but then at the same time accommodate the neighbors?
We can take a look. I don't remember what it was to put it in. It was not inexpensive.
It wasn't
outrageous.
We actually had a grant at one point in time to try to install this idle air technology at the Lake Forest Oasis. This just happened to, well, actually it's on the Lake Forest Oasis side where they actually acquired some of the land for it, so this is not an area where the residents are, which was a good thing. Sure, there was probably been some complaints, but this was at the same time that the Oasis was undergoing some of its bankruptcy issues, so the deal had fallen through. It's about a little less than $2 million to, I think it was about 30 parking spaces with this idle air technology expansion built. So it was not insignificant.
Well, I think it's probably true that much of our environmental policy laws right now apply to practices that were cheaper but were very short-sighted mm-hmm. In terms of overall impact. So I think we should take a closer look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about, I want to have some discussion if we could around truck parking. So this concept is, we've talked to the Oasis, frankly I think the entity that has the lease has frankly a limited appetite to see the truck parking expanded. So, I mean, we could continue to pursue that, but another idea for us, frankly, was, you know, these plaza locations provide potentially an opportunity to facilitate more truck parking. You do have potentially washroom facilities there, which is what the trucking community says, really, that's what we need. We don't have to have a big food court or any of that. We really, you know, that's really the access that we need. Obviously, with the cash collection, opportunities to pull in and out. What do we think about exploring this concept a little bit more? Would we be willing to think about incurring some additional costs potentially for putting in some more truck parking here? Or what do we need to think about as we're evaluating this?
I'm going to assume that demand is there because if I go out in the evening by our toll booths, they're parked down the ranch. They're, mm-hmm. I mean, to the point of you know, a little bit of endangerment.
It is.
So I'm going to assume that the demand is there for expanding. Why wouldn't
we? No, I think you're right.
I think at the same time, if we're going to do that, we want to keep be conscious of the our neighbors.
What's the downside?
I'd say the downside would be cost to us, right? I mean, we obviously wouldn't design something that we didn't feel was safe, so we would have to deal with those concerns in any design, but the downside would simply be the increased cost, I would say. Would there be other downsides? The neighbor impact and whether trucks idling create an issue there, but there's already a great deal of traffic going through these locations. But that is something we have to think about.
What about what I did, which I didn't realize was this, it's being utilized as a staging area, you know, in some instances more than anything else. Does that promote then, you know, growth in some of those landlocked areas like Melrose Park and mm-hmm. places like that? Does this help them on their growth side, which then would drive additional freight for us, right?
Well, and help them manage their growth too, right? Whether it's the growth, but also manage so that it's not.
It's a big look.
Right, creating such a bottleneck for those communities.
Have you talked to the truckers about this concept?
No, we haven't gone back to them about this. We want to make sure before we do that that there's an appetite, because there will be an additional cost. I don't know what it, I don't think we can say what it will be, but it's, you know, going to be an additional cost.
I think when we talked to the industry a couple of years ago, the one thing that was very clear was kind of that overall need for
additional parking.
Would it be cheaper to and I know there's not a lot of spots left, but to look at, you know, a greenfield approach to popping in a new facility where there's an open spot, ramp in, ramp out of that, big volume, and, you know, because I'm assuming they stop at these areas just where they think there's room. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a stretch for somebody that's either passing through and is on his 10-hour or is staging.
There are a couple areas on our system that we've been approached by the local municipalities about trying to do that greenfield approach. down in Markham and 159th Street in particular, they've been trying to attract some development down that way, which is nice, and they're very fine and open with having some form of truck parking. What they've thought about is there an ability for a truck to get off of our system into this facility and then to get back directly right on? You know, the issue always is it's the toll.
So I think that there are two sides to that, right? I think the greenfield idea that I think you were talking about was a parking lot with maybe a tollless parking lot with maybe they've asked that there be restroom facilities, right? So you'd want a restroom facility that then the tollway would be responsible for maintaining, but it would be our facility.
Try to drive some of it to that instead of expanding the
right.
Landlocked oases.
So, well, or the plaza. So this would be the toll collection. Okay. This would be where the toll collection happens, right. Too. But I think what you're suggesting, and a couple people have come to us with, is, you know, is there a private entity mm-hmm. that would, you know, open up a truck stop, for instance, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yep.
And, you know, could we work out some deal where there would be direct access on and off so that they, because one of the things that truckers don't like to do is pull off, pay, park somewhere even if they can, and then they have to pay to get back on. So, you know, can you incentivize some private development to fill our need but also capitalize on a market opportunity, right?
Right.
Kind of a triple P.
I guess kind of.
Something
I mean,
like
we'd
that.
Have to somehow agree that an untold, you know, it would be an untold location, and are we, you know, are we comfortable with that? What would be the kind of parameters that would make us comfortable with something like that?
Because you don't want them getting off and, you know, into this parking lot and getting back on the local road system, making it
more off our system into a trucker's paradise type of island. The private
yep.
developer then would put, you know, facilities that would be targeted towards the trucking industry.
So there wouldn't be access out.
Right.
So one of the criteria would be just getting in and out of that facility, but not then having access into the local community or being able to get out.
Mm-hmm. Your biggest cost would be you'd want it north and southbound availability, so now you're talking bridging.
So are you talking about the public-private partnership being the concessions that would be there, or they would control the whole... invested in their costs would be the construction and maintenance of the facility, or you maybe haven't thought that far.
I think they would share with us the cost of the access cost, kind of like a village would, and then they would then control with the village of Markham or somebody else the development in there that is, you know, trucker centric, but on and off, in and out of our system only without tolls.
That was, I mean, it's almost like its own oasis just for trucks, right?
Right. That's basically what it is.
You know, maybe one north, one south. And
we've looked at trying to buy, you know, where could we acquire our own land next to the river? Obviously, our land costs are always going to be higher. There's open land, everybody sees us as the. Sell this for a crazy high price, and so that's why we come up with this design. Can we fit something with ours, or is there other opportunities?
Makes sense for them. It makes sense in the private sector. Why don't we,
so some type of
facilitated,
some type of open process where we could kind of get a sense of what the interest is and what that might look like.
Okay. One of the things I thought was interesting that I learned is that there's an informal agreement with all Walmarts. Trucks can park at a Walmart overnight. No problem. The reason Walmart wants them there is and you'll see it anytime you drive by Walmart, they park back there, but it's a matter of their parking. They're going to go in and buy some stuff, whatever it might be, and it's a big empty parking lot at night. Go ahead and use it. So there's that informal relationship that has happened between the truckers. So it'd be great to just, again, provide that opportunity to not have to get off the system and find that and stay on and continue on.
But it would seem to me the challenge is finding the balance where you don't get the commercial people jacking up prices and trying to take advantage of it, and then you drive the trucks off. And it's the problem with every PPP, right? Is that you have to figure out how to protect.
But if nothing else, they've got parking, mm-hmm. And those facilities, the washroom facilities, by us for free, and then it's their choice to utilize the public.
Yeah, but if we have some kind of cost sharing agreement with the private people, I think they're going to need to. Fields that they benefit from it somehow. They're just a whole bunch of variations.
Yeah. A consideration that we've that runs through is what they would all like is it's not just parking. They want parking and fuel and food. Mm-hmm. Now, does that cause any issues?
Well, I think that the fourth and important element there is what's the overall cost to the trucker, if any. So there has to be a net incentive here that makes it worth their while to do it. It's just as we heard before, we talked about systems that they could use to heat and take exhaust out, etc. And they said, well, it's cheaper just to idle. They're going to tend towards a cheaper way of dealing with things, so we have to make it worth the while. On the other hand, we know that they're going to be a larger and larger percentage of both the traffic count itself, but also very much so in terms of the percent of revenue. And so they're important customers of ours. And
yep.
Trying to make it convenient for them is something we really should, take the time and effort to look at.
Well, if you've ever stopped at those Flying J yards or any of those facilities, and along the I-89 to the Borman, they're packed. You can't get in those back lots.
So
the one thing that I think the tollway itself is kind of a public-private approach to things in the first place, which I think is good, and I think that's part of why we're successful with what we do. So entertaining the idea of working with the private sector for some of these types of facilities, I think, is certainly worth looking at. They just have to be competitive.
Is the Flying J, is that what you call it? Is that the model for this? Does that have something to do with
it? It would almost be like that, but it would be more...
That's just a private...
But
it's
all
private, but that's where the private... enterprise has done it completely themselves, but if we facilitate it with an on-off, no access out, no toll,
mm-hmm.
And then partner with them to, they develop it
from
that point, however the model works.
Right. So it sounds like, if I could be so bold as to suggest what I think we're getting as direction, is the idea of parking at the plaza, so this is where toll collection happens, in some of the space that we have available there. We should continue to explore it to some level, but there is definitely an interest in, looking at developing, whether it's just kind of basic off-system parking lot with at least restroom facilities, but also maybe advancing the idea of some, if there's a public-private partnership, what that might look like. And I think, going in with eyes wide open that, when you allow there to be free access into a private facility, you know, some people will say there's a benefit to the private sector there. So we need to make sure we understand the benefit to us and our customers as well.
And yes,
this is the cost sharing.
This was a toll plaza.
So this is a toll plaza. This is where collection happens. So you can see in the middle here, and it is a little unclear. So if I say something wrong, I'm expecting Rockwood to jump in and save me from myself.
You'll never say anything wrong.
No. Yeah, I know. I'm just always a shade of gray off from what is reality. So you see the main line going down the middle,
yeah,
the open road lane, and then off to the side here is where the cash collection happens. So the truck parking, it looks like as we've thought about it here, is it there in between? Is
in
it
between
off as an extension of where the parking lot already is for the plaza, or but it looks like it's kind of in between the open road and cash.
That's where it is.
Right?
In between the open road and cash. And some of these toll plazas, we have a green swath that physically separates the open road toll lanes with the cash lanes to allow ingress and egress.
So then they get off, pull in easily, and then be able to pull off into the cash lane.
So you'd send them all through the cash lanes?
We're going to catch them. You're either going to pay
at
the plaza or whatever it might be. It would likely be barrier wall separated, so you would pay when you exit the facility itself.
And you'd have to go through and exit the cash lane. Do we have them? It looks like we have them exiting actually after the plaza.
They would. Yeah, it would be. But it's barrier separated, so
they wouldn't
have
to necessarily go through the cash lanes, but they come in here and then pull out and exit after the plaza, and there'd be toll collection, you know, one of those points so that we catch the toll that we needed.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm wondering is if you don't just want it to be a toll, you pay the toll to get in to the park.
Yeah, they have to somehow pay whatever toll they should have paid going through this point.
So it might have the advantage that you're pulling some of the trucks out of, if you did it as a separate thing, you're pulling them out of the other tolling traffic, right? So they're not slowing down to get off into the parking and then coming back in to where the flow of traffic is if you had
that's
that
right. It looks like this one would be designed to come in before and come out after and collect the toll in the lot somehow.
Do you have room at some of the locations where you remove the toll? You know, like, is that Deerfield?
Deerfield.
You wouldn't even have the tolling issue. It would be just an area for them to do that.
The Deerfield area now is being used for detention, storage. Through that, there's a big, huge open area through there. It's pretty much used and spaced right now. Yeah, fill it all in. Paul is a drainage guy. You appreciate that, right?
Call T. Desposito and ask his neighbor something.
We've already been through that.
But
that's what we've looked at, is where can we fit something within our system? And again, what we've always tried to tie it into is, are there existing amenities? So instead of having to run all new water, sewer, whatever it might be, you've got some facilities out here. It's an easier run to make the connection. So that's why I looked at the Oasis. And then, you know, we came up with, one of our engineers said, hey, how about this? So he went out and did a field search of all the toll plazas to see where can we fit them. What's interesting about this, you're talking about 30 some odd stalls?
And total? 15 aside? Or
30 aside, 30 plus.
Aside. Really? Mm-hmm. How many locations do we have that would?
Probably about three.
Which three do you know off the top of your head?
All the central tri-state. It's Shermack. It's Plaza. Was it the 38 and
36 and
30? Yeah, basically all along the central tri-state.
This one is Shermack.
This is Shermack. I don't want to really put names up there, but yeah, it's
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Irving Park is the other one. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are ones we just physically there's room.
Yeah.
Do something through here. The other one that has been explored at different times was Marengo Toll Plaza, where we had some additional toll facilities that were built that are rarely used now that way. So there's some ability to maybe get, I think it was about 10 or 12 trucks in those locations. Again, we just wanted to physically, you know, lay down a footprint. Can we do anything through here? But it sounds like it's worth exploring a little bit more.
I think, you know, that's a great way to start in terms of an existing asset, take a look, see, you know, cost it out. Those kinds of things. I think the safety element is important, that there's not, you know, visual distraction for people, you know, going through that area. Of course, they're slowed down somewhat at that point.
Right.
But safety would be a big element as well. Great.
So really, I guess, you know, moving forward, there's some things, as you've heard, that we just don't know about who's using our system, why they're using it. So what we may want to consider is some user surveys or some focus groups to really find out who's using our system and how and why they're using it in the way they do. It could be, you know, a survey could take a couple different forms. It could be an intensive survey to really to drill down into a lot of things. It could be something that's sent to fleets themselves. But I think, again, what we found is that the when you work with the person who is managing the fleet itself, they have different thoughts than the person who's actually driving the truck. So I think it would be really good to learn more about our customers, because there's definitely different ones out there. You've got the independents, you've got the containers, and you've got some of these major ground cargo carriers. So if that'd be something that you'd be interested in, we could, you know, start to pursue that and figure out figure out how our system is used. Again, I know we don't have much information about who at the short haul versus the long haul. This is something that the trucking industry brought up to us. They said, you know, do you know how many people are driving through your system as opposed to those who are just making a delivery? One thing we in doing some of the research that we find that I found out was that truck-related trips in Chicago, the average distance is about 59 miles, so it's not that long haul. So let's find out a little bit more about how those trucks are using our system. Getting some additional input on operational or access needs, that was our other thought. I know there's pieces and portions of our system that we do have operational concerns with. And I know the truckers, you know, one in particular that is easy to point to is Interstate 294, where you tie into I-290 and I-294 southbound going into I-88. Those are bad weave areas on the system. You know, the 290 interfaces, you basically, as the trucks or vehicles are coming down, it's pretty much a stop, and you go around in a circle at about 20 miles per hour. Anytime you're near that ramp, you see trucks lined up through there. So maybe to identify what some of those issue areas are would be helpful. As well, and to maybe align us with our Move Illinois program and some of these improvements to see if we should tackle some of that. So these are some of the things that we thought. Is there anything else that, you know, if we do any surveys that we should maybe consider, get some feedback on from the industry? Long-term vision, I don't think we ever hear anything about a long-term vision, especially from the Illinois Truckers and Midwest Trucking Association. They're more worried about the lobbying and freight side and the rules and regulations. So
when you're talking about the target audience here, you're talking about the truckers, not the people who pay for the goods? Or the intermodal center?
I'd like to get some feedback. Who do you think we should talk? Is it just the truckers? Is there information that would be helpful?
You definitely want to get direct to the truckers versus the association.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
But I'm wondering about things like center point and some of the intermodal places.
Well, you could get into some discussions with the railroads. A lot of the traffic flow is dictated by the train times and the loading of those trains. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a lot of that in those yards, and there are your peak times, your peak trains, the express lines that go across country here that are time sensitive. So maybe there's something we can do with the railroads in that respect.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, like Center Point, I think that's a good idea. In order that you probably get some long term vision out of both ends.
Prologis, that's another one that if you drive anywhere near Elk Grove, that's all you see is this. It's Prologis, it's all over.
And how about the companies that actually handle logistics? Coyote and those kind of companies.
And I think that your point was interesting. You know, what about the customers? So, you know, is there some subset of, you know, can we identify who receives a lot of, particularly for short haul volume deliveries, and what are the types of things they need?
Right. Is there a Costco, somebody who can answer questions like that?
Sure.
You were talking about the supermarkets. Presumably there's a distribution hub someplace in the region. So you don't have to go from one almost dead Dominic's to another.
Right. Well, from a distribution standpoint, what the cluster map showed is near Bolingbrook and Romeoville, it's a lot of There's that distribution that happens today. When you actually, when you're up in there, you see the big boxes. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, Rocco, you mentioned a number of different entities that are involved in, you know, looking at freight movement, et cetera, in the area. Do you have a pretty good handle right now in terms of the data that they've collected? Because certainly that would help inform whatever we're trying to do.
I know what I know, that I'm sure there's a lot more data that's out there that we don't know that's out there.
So one of the things might be to dig into them. Get with them a little bit.
The other thing we might ask, the target people we survey is, who's doing it right in the country? Mm-hmm. You know, where's the best place that you ship and hold over or whatever?
A lot of things, you know, we've talked about some of this stuff moving forward. Again, we think the goal is to come out of this and start putting together some form of a tollway specific freight plan. We could start looking at some of our design standards. I think, you know, we've already talked about the 120,000 pound loading. I think that's something that we'll explore a little bit more on some central tri-state and maybe Elgin here as well.
Rocco, you said, I think you guys said that we design I-90 to be a little more durable. Than the typical standard. What elements of the design change when you do that? In other words, what do you change?
I think it changed was the thickness of the beam.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that changes. And I think Rocco mentioned those easels, you know, equivalents and no axle loads. That's the actual thing that drove the change in that. Pavement thickness, because those numbers increased.
Mm-hmm.
That loading increased.
Do you have some Rocco's test areas that you've already done like this? You know, like 53's got that stretch, you know, by Schomburg between
the European design.
Yeah.
Right.
Has there been feedback on that at all, or is that more still long-term being studied?
That was thick.
Yeah, it is. It's almost airport thick.
And it's continuously reinforced concrete pavement, so it's supposed to last a lot longer than normal pavement. Yeah, we can check with IDA on that, what kind of performance. We actually had continuously reinforced concrete pavement, too, on I-80. That portion of I-80 at the very south end that you saw as heavy truck traffic, that was built in the congestion relief program.
It might be something that when we look at the performance for that part and this, you know, what are we looking at for design on some of the other parts of our system? We'll be willing to bear the additional cost because it would be.
Yeah.
Right? To do it in certain key areas.
Well, is the long-term vision of the tollway to design it at an upgraded level like 90, or is that going to be unique to certain corridors?
Yeah, right. I think what's driving us is we really want to go in one time and stay out of people's way for as long as possible. So if we can afford it, you know, let's try to, you know, invest in the bridges and the pavement so that we can get the most out of them. So that's what I think was kind of driving us to look at this increased loading. I mean, if that's the thing that drives the pavement design, then let's try to set a little higher standard. And we've gotten such good bids that, you know, it hasn't been cost prohibitive for us to do it. It hasn't really changed the unit cost at all, really, on 90, so it's like...
Well, that's not going to continue.
No, I know, it won't continue.
Well, also, it doesn't change the unit cost, but it's like saying I saved some money because I bought something on sale.
Yeah.
And you're still spending more out of the program.
Sounds like somebody
Yeah.
Engineer's estimates on what we paid for the 90 stretch was a great bargain. I wonder, like... 30, 40 million or 50 million.
We did have cost savings, yes, and those engineers' estimates were driven primarily by historical spending, and that's what they based it on. And so we haven't seen the jump yet.
How about what I'm interested in is like the marginal longevity of that improvement. In other words, is there really solid data on how much longer that?
That's why I was asking about the 53 stretch, because that was done. 10 years ago?
Yeah.
More than that, probably.
Is it more than that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I know I get our industry overlay guys in the world tell me, you know, that'll last 15 years. I've never seen that last 15 years, so I'm just wondering how solid that is.
We can get some information on that. It was included in that pavement analysis, I know.
Right, there's the actual cost, but then there's the, for us, the untold cost of our savings or revenue or non-revenue impact, I guess, depending on how, of just staying out of our customers' way.
Yeah.
Right, which is harder sometimes to quantify. Mm-hmm. We know there's an impact when we're out there doing construction, right, of being in our customers' way or them seeing barrels out there versus not.
That was fully considered and evaluated. I mean, we did the best we could to estimate those savings, because we looked at initial costs, we looked at operation and maintenance costs, we looked at the green aspect of it, and we looked at the constructability. I think those are the four driving areas of focus.
Do you have any idea in the surrounding states, going back to the triple use, but, you know, we see truckers coming to our border and having to break down trucks,
mm-hmm,
and then crossing Illinois. It's a huge cost and disruption. Does Iowa allow triples? So, I mean, are we at a spot in between a longer stretch nationally along the 80 corridor that interferes with that? And if it is there a way then for us to take advantage of it as a network, especially with that 88 corridor?
I don't know about Iowa. I know Michigan, Indiana.
Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, I think Pennsylvania.
Ohio for sure. I don't know about Pennsylvania, but I think you might be right on that one.
So it's a long stretch.
So that's something we should look at.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out more about that. That would take a state legislative action to allow the triple trailer.
Well, there's talk of, you know, maybe allowing Indiana to do the same as an incentive. So if they had it, why not dovetail those things together when it's being done? Of course, there's a run on the Indiana market.
I think the next slide, we've dealt with a lot of these, which are kind of private sector partnerships. Mm-hmm. You told us to keep in mind some of these technology and technological advances. You know, is it worth it to save the environment, you know, invest in those? So I think we've dealt with some of these issues. And the next slide is our action plan, and I think it's expanded a little bit from our discussion.
Yes, it has.
As we knew it would.
Right, which is good. And so maybe just kind of think about what I have as some of the short-term, the priorities in the short-term is really to maybe look at what our Move Illinois projects are, trying to align some of these design and performance standards to see what makes most sense, maybe in the most immediate sense, is the Elgin O'Hare. Drill down into a lot of the parking issues, seem to be a lot of discussion there, find out what works best for us in the industry, and maybe kick off some of the survey work. I think those are some good short-term priorities. Again, my goal with this is to continue to collect the data, to find out what's going on out there, learn more about our customers, broaden the outreach, as he suggested, maybe start talking to some of these other industries, find out what is happening. We do have some data out there, so maybe some data gaps. Again, as a kickoff to a freight plan, maybe we'll come back sometime mid-2014 with a progress report, maybe sooner, with some of these, if these other initiatives are on the ground, there's some legs to them, bring something back to you. But then really the overall goal is to have a tollway strategic freight plan, figure out where we are and where we want to be as we continue to roll out these projects. You know, I think the next big target here is Elgin O'Hare, which is in front of us, but then also the Central Tri-State. It is our core for traffic and truck freight. So, as we kick off a mini master plan, we really need to think about how we want to accommodate some of this stuff. Any other things that you'd like to see maybe in the short term?
The one question I would have is, we talked about a survey / focus groups or whatever.
Yep.
Where do you see that fitting in with the overall statement?
I think that's a nice as first step. You know, I'd like to jump into that soon. Figure out what we could do in the immediate sense. And maybe there's multiple types of surveys. Maybe it's a quick survey out to the industry.
And let's see what resources we have, because mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to be able to do that.
Yep.
So we also, I think, need to come up with a reasonable and realistic plan of, you know, what professionals, either contractual services we already have, or who, what resources we have to accomplish that. But that's, I think that would be great.
Probably gratuitous, because maybe it's obvious, but the flip side of the coin of a freight plan is a passenger vehicle plan, right? So in everything that you're thinking about, I think you're also thinking about what's the impact going to be on the passenger vehicles. And I know you do that because I know you think about the other group of customers.
That's the 88% who won't let us forget.
Good.
No, but I think that it's a good point, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of passenger vehicles don't like to see more trucks, right? And blame them for the congestion.
Yeah, which takes me back to the, I think the last slide that we, one of the interesting items in there I thought was the lane utilization issue.
So
I'm not quite sure what that means to you. I'd like
what
to
does it mean to you?
Well, I think the discussion we're having right now is what brought that to mind with me, is that, you know, the not always happy marriage between truck traffic and vehicle traffic.
So some things that have been brought up in the past is the possibility of truck-only lanes. We can start looking at, is that something that would be viable? What that would take is to understand the volume of truck traffic on any particular corridor, and is that volume sufficient to warrant a lane dedicated solely to truck traffic? Because again, what you don't want is an empty lane that you're dedicating for a particular type of vehicles that is not full. So that was something that was brought up in the past. We could start looking at, is there
You could do that though with a restriction to trucks to one lane.
That was the other thought.
Simple as that.
And the lane utilization isn't just about a dedicated lane, it's maybe about allowing the trucks to use different lanes that they use right now. Right now we force them all off to the right side.
In theory, very much in theory.
Well, there's a reason why they don't like it, and it's not necessarily, maybe that's not the best place for them, because it does cause a lot of friction. When that truck is going for a long haul, maybe a better place for them is in lane two, not the most inside lane, but maybe that second lane, to again let them run free.
And how would that relate to the construction? I mean, is it feasible to say you would build the truck lane of a different thickness than the other lanes, or is that ridiculous?
No, that's certainly possible. I mean, on 90, we built all of them to handle 120, so it's a consistent design across, and so are the bridges. But, you know, on some
do
other
you create
courses,
some other problems, though, by having, you know, joints where you have one lane that is built to a certain standard, and then, you know, right next to it, others that aren't, and you're, you know, joining different.
I mean, if we were going to build, you know, some lanes separate from the rest of the system, independent solely for trucks, then we certainly would design it for, you know, that loading.
Yeah,
well,
you'd make those express, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, like if we were going to build some express lanes for the long haulers that
long hauler go through, you want to know that whatever that dedicated lane is.
I'm not even suggesting a dedicated lane. I'm just talking about lane, actually utilizing the lanes that we have out there. Mm-hmm. Right now, in theory, they're supposed to use the far right lane.
The two right.
So, but is that really the best place for them? To give them that opportunity for the long haul? So, I mean, that's something that we haven't really looked at before, and that would be some operational and signage and safety type considerations. So that's what, you know, more what I was thinking is that worth. It's interesting that you said that there, because that's what I think. I think anybody downstairs sees the same thing. They don't really use it.
Right. I think if you're going to go down that road, good metaphor. I think it'd be worthwhile seeing if anybody else that we know does it differently.
Right. Good. Thank you.
Thank you for the full plate.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Got a lot of people excited about trying to tackle some of this stuff.
Great. Interesting report. Well, thank you. Are there any other topics that we feel compelled to discuss today? We've done pretty well with just that one. If not, then I guess we could entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.